The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We continue today to think about just who is this Jesus who became flesh? Just who is the Son of God? Just what does it mean that this baby came to the earth? And for years and years, all of you have contemplated and thought about the Christmas story. Every year we read it again, and every year it's amazing, and every year we think about just who it is that Jesus really is. How do we understand the heart of God and understand the wonder and the majesty of an eternal, infinite God who came and came to the earth and came to be with us? Over the last couple of Sundays, we have read about some of the attributes of the Messiah, some of the attributes of who Jesus is. We've read about who He is and what He's done, but this morning, we're going to continue to look at what the prophet said about the Messiah and who He is. Isaiah chapter 9, I'd like us to read responsively this morning. Go back to the last one, please. I'll read the first line. I want you guys to read with me this morning, because I understand that in the Hebrew, this is an even more powerful text. Last week, we read it in English, and this week, I want to give you an opportunity to read it in Hebrew. I'll read the first line, and you guys stand with me, would you please? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is really, I've read, a really neat text in Hebrew. I can't read Hebrew either. But I have heard that the way that's written is beautiful, a beautiful expression of what seemed to come out of Isaiah suddenly is poetry, a beautiful description. I don't know what went through Isaiah's mind and heart as he wrote his long book of Isaiah, but I want today to just think for a minute about the beauty and the wonder of the expression of who the Messiah is. We get to look back today and look through history and look at all the descriptions of Jesus in the Scripture, but even in the days of Messiah, some of the prophecies about the Messiah were so beautiful and cherished among the people. They were looking forward to a Messiah. Many of the Jewish people, even to this day, they know there's a Messiah. They believe in Messiah. They miss the Messiah that came, but they believe deeply in the wonder of the Messiah. And today I want us also to marvel and wonder at this description in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Last week we looked at two of the statements about who Jesus is. And this morning I want to invite you again to look at what does this beautiful passage, this beautiful scripture, say to us about who Jesus is. Four statements. Okay, now we can go to the next one. Would you read that with me this morning? And He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Read it again. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Thank you. You may be seated. These four titles of the Messiah here, they were written 800 years before Jesus came, yet Isaiah captures some magnificent pictures of who it is that God intended Jesus to be when He came to the earth. Just who is this Jesus? We think about the baby Jesus. We think about Him and in His mother's arms or in the manger or in Bethlehem, and Joseph looking at Him and admiring a beautiful baby that was born, and all the wonder of a human birth and all that. And then added to that is the wonder and the marvel of the circumstances around which Jesus came. Just imagine what Mary and Joseph must have thought. What went through her heart and her mind to not only have given birth and all that went with that, with the pain and the challenge of her first child, a firstborn, a son, but also as Mary began to try to understand what could this mean, and the amazing, marvelous picture of an amazing God who would come to her through an angel and give her this special and precious gift. Who exactly is this baby Jesus? Last week we looked at some of the description about Jesus found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Especially we looked at the description of Jesus, the Messiah, as the Wonderful Counselor and the Prince of Peace. And this morning I want to look at the other two in this description, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And look for a few minutes at the wonder and the marvel of what Isaiah says and how he describes the Messiah to come. The Messiah is called in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Mighty God. This morning I want you to think for a few minutes about what it means that Jesus is the Mighty God. What does it mean that as we think of Jesus through every stage of His life and we think of Him in the Christmas story, He is the Mighty God. When He was a little boy and they went to Egypt, He was a Mighty God. And when He grew up as a toddler and an adolescent, He was a Mighty God. As a teenager, He's a Mighty God. As a young man, He was a Mighty God. In public ministry, He's a Mighty God. When He died on the cross, He was a Mighty God. When He rose from the dead, He's a Mighty God. And today He sits at the right hand of the Father and He is a Mighty God. We think of who Jesus is. I want you to think about some of the attributes or qualities of why He is so mighty, what it is that's mighty about Jesus, what it is that we can hold on to and remember and worship Him during the Christmas season. I'm going to give you 10 things today to remember. I know you're not going to remember. If you remember one or two, that would be great. If you want to write them down, I want to talk about 6 things about Jesus being the Mighty God today. There are so many. I said to somebody earlier, I had a list of about 25 or 30, and I knew I had to narrow them down. And so I've tried to do that today, but I want to talk about 6 things about the Mighty God in Jesus. What a mighty God He is. He is a mighty God. We see His power on display in so many ways. We see the mightiness of God. One of the pictures that we may have, or at least from the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe of a picture of the Mighty God is the Mighty Lion. And in that picture, in that understanding, in that story, in that writer's display of the mightiness of God, Aslan is that Mighty God. You think of the strength of a lion and how it represents great power. Well, Jesus is a mighty God. He's a powerful God. And we see that in so many ways. We have a song that we sing. We sing the mighty power of God. And I was thinking about that when I kind of came up the aisle a little bit ago and you guys were singing, and some of you were singing really good, and some of you, I thought, you're thinking about something else. I can tell. I don't know what you're thinking about, but you're thinking about something else. And I saw the line about singing about who God is. You know, when we sing, we have the opportunity to praise a mighty God. And remembering who He is when we sing, when we worship, when we do anything is so important. He is a mighty God, and He deserves our very best. He deserves our highest praise. He deserves that we would worship Him with awe and reverence. He is a mighty God. He is all-powerful. He is mighty. So many ways that He demonstrates His power. This morning, the first thing that I want to mention is Jesus has displayed the mighty power of God through the creation. When I think about the creation, I start thinking about the creative power of God and the creativity of God and how it is that God could speak into existence everything. And in every day of creation, God bring about such life and change. We see the power of Jesus in the creation. In every day of creation, Jesus was creating with marvelous and magnificent power. When you think of the days of creation and each thing that Jesus created on those days, it's just amazing the power that must be a part of the Word that was there in the beginning. We're told that Jesus was the Creator. From the expanses of the stars to the microscopic particles, from the very biggest objects in creation down to the protons and neutrons and everything that size and smaller, we see the creative power of God. I don't see how anybody can look at the creation and not believe in the power of a creative God. Jesus is described as that Creator. He created. He also created life. I think of the stars and the magnificence of the distances between the galaxies. By the way, I was thinking too when we were singing earlier, I wonder which star God used to come over Bethlehem. You know, theories about that, maybe brought together some planets, I don't know, but in our translation it says stars. I wonder which one of the 7 sextillion stars God used to bring over Bethlehem. Maybe it was one He just put up there for that purpose, I don't know. But can you imagine a God who's able to create 7? Now that is 7 with 21 zeros after it, the number of stars that God created. And you know what the Bible says is God's named them. God has a name for every one of them. You know, there's only about 8 billion people on our planet. Compare that to the number of stars. You know what the ratio of the number of people on the planet to the stars that are in the sky, and it says God has named every one of those stars? Also tells us that God knows every person. It's a lot easier for me to understand and get my mind around God knowing 8 billion people than 7 sextillion stars out there. He is an amazing God. And it says that Jesus was the creator. In the beginning, he was creating. He also created things as beautiful as life as a baby. I think about the magnitude of the creation and the stars and the distances, and I think of chemistry and geology and all those things out there from science. But then I think kind of in another avenue of the creative power of God, I think of how he created life and how it is that God can give us such a beautiful gift. Had an opportunity yesterday to hold a 5-pound baby, five pounder. Born a couple weeks ago, just a little baby. I was thinking as I looked into the eyes of Abigail Ruth, what a beautiful gift that God has given. God is a creator of life. Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus also shows his mighty power through his infinite knowledge. Jesus, so perceptive, all-knowing, all-perceiving, somehow we understand that God is omniscient, that somehow he knows everything at all times. I mean, we know that he has to have amazing creativity and power in order to speak the world into existence and run this creation that he made. But even more amazing to that is that God in his infinite knowledge can know who you and I are. We're told that Jesus also understands us. He came to the world so he could understand us. He was tempted like we are so that he could understand us. And so the amazing infinite knowledge of Jesus to me is also a reminder that he is mighty God. He's also present everywhere. We think of all the things that the Bible says about how God can be everywhere at once. The Spirit of God can understand every heart and every life. Psalm chapter 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Somehow God is able to be with us everywhere, in every part of who we are, in every part of our circumstances, our emotions. God is there. God is a part of us. He knows us. Jesus' presence is with us. It's a beautiful reminder to me of that infinite presence of God. He is the mighty God. He's also the perfect promise keeper. I think about the promises of God, the promises about Jesus, the prophecies about Jesus I talked about from the Bible, some 300 or so throughout the Bible. Promises about the Messiah, and about 40 that are very specific that are fulfilled in the life of Jesus, and everything that Jesus said would happen when he came, and the promises that he gave us, the promise he gave his disciples about what would happen when he had ascended into heaven. He's a great promise keeper. He's a mighty God because he keeps every single one of his promises. What he says he will do, he will do. He will. What he says he will do, he will do. The promises of God, sometimes they may not seem like that important or that deep, but he will keep them. And the things that are deeper and stronger, God keeps his promises. Jesus is the perfect promise keeper. We also know that Jesus is a mighty God because he reveals himself to us. Somehow God took the prophecies of the scriptures and all of human history, and out of that came Jesus. Out of that came the fullness of God. It's a great privilege and a great opportunity to know that Jesus is revealing himself to us. What kind of an infinite spirit God can reveal himself to a finite man? Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can come out of history, come out of creation, come out of the Godhead and reveal himself to each one of us. He comes to us right out of the scriptures and makes himself known. You and I can know God today because a mighty God made Himself known to us. Otherwise, we'd be describing this God that's distant and away and somehow aloof and has no individual contact with us. But that's not the way it is. Instead, we're describing a God who keeps reaching out to us. He is the mighty, mighty God. You and I can know Him. He's called the Emmanuel in John chapter 1, the God with us. He has come to be with us. I love this picture. I showed it a couple of weeks ago that somehow God Himself just comes right out of the Scriptures in Jesus and puts His arm around us to be with us. God with us. That's evidence of the mighty God. In all of these, He is the mighty God. All of these remind me of the mightiness of Jesus, mightiness of the Messiah. But there's one more that I want to share this morning. And for me, I might say it's the greatest evidence. That might not be the right, maybe that's not true, but it's such an overwhelming evidence to me of a mighty God and who Jesus is. It's maybe one of the things I would describe as one of the most important qualities that Jesus has, and that is that Jesus alone can change the human heart. Jesus alone can do something about the sin problem. That's enough to worship Him right there, that He alone, God alone, can forgive sins. God alone can redeem. God alone can take sinners and take those that are separated from Him, and through Jesus Himself, He can reconcile us to God. On the cross, He sealed my pardon. He redeemed, He forgave, He saved me. He is the mighty God. That's enough for us to remember at Christmas time and praise Him over and over again. God can change hearts. God changed my heart. God forgave me and redeemed me. He is a mighty God. And then there's the everlasting Father. He is an incredibly relational Messiah. He's described as being mighty and powerful. He's described as being the Prince of Peace, the one that brings peace. He's the one that's described as being mighty in every way and a counselor, but He's also described as an everlasting Father. God is a relational God, and Jesus came to show us the relationship that God the Father wants to have with us. And so Jesus Himself, being God Himself, is described as the everlasting Father, incredibly relational. He is the giver of life. John chapter 1 says, "In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." I think about fatherhood. I think about the great privilege of being a father and being able to bring life into the world, father and the mother, and how God allows the gift of conception through the father and the mother, and how important the fatherhood is, how important and what a privilege it is to be a father. But in some ways, Jesus too is our Father. He's the one that gives life to us. He's the one that allows that we will know Him and receive Him and have eternal life. He is the giver of life. In Him was life, and that life was a light of men. And then we also know of the everlasting Father that He is our provider. God is described throughout the Bible as being our provider. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Messiah is called the provider. He's the one that knows our needs. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. Don't think that anything's going on in your life that Jesus doesn't understand, because this is the promise from the book of Philippians chapter 4. My God will provide all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that no matter what you need, God knows about it and Jesus knows about it. Somehow Jesus is able to meet our needs. There's not a problem that you have that Jesus can't address. There's not a struggle that you have or a problem in your past or a relationship that Jesus can't help you with, because He can supply all your needs. That's a great reason to worship God. It's a great reason at Christmas time to celebrate who Jesus is, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He is our provider. My God shall provide all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I think of the treasure that the wise men brought to Mary and Joseph after the birth of Jesus, and gold and frankincense and myrrh, and how valuable they were. They were great treasures. Well, God tells us that spiritually this treasure that Jesus has. And whatever needs we have, God draws from that, from those treasures, in order to meet our needs. We have much to be thankful for, much to worship Him today. He is our provider. Jesus is also our salvation and our intercessor. He is working on our behalf. There is a God in heaven right now, Jesus, who's working on your behalf. You're not forgotten. It's not like when Jesus went to heaven, He started working on other kingdoms. The truth is, He's in heaven seated at the right hand of God, and He's interceding for you and I. Right now, today, on Sunday the 15th of December, somehow this infinite God, this marvelous Messiah, this amazing Savior is in heaven, and He has His mind on you and I, and He's interceding for you and I. He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him because He lives to intercede for them. Look at the last part of that. He lives to intercede for them. Jesus is living today, and the purpose of living is to intercede for you and I. Now that is a relational God. That is a God who loves us so much, an everlasting Father, an amazing God. Remember today that you have a Savior who is working on your behalf. He's able to save completely. There's not an issue or problem that you have that God can't overcome. There's not a sin in your life that God can't forgive. There's not a circumstances that you have that God says, you know what, you're done, you're finished, I'm done with you. No, He is able to save completely those who come to God. If you come to God today and you have a heart that is humbled and a heart full of faith in Jesus, He's able to save you completely. And He's interceding. He's looking to help you. He lives to intercede for them. He is our salvation. He is our intercessor. He is our everlasting Father, loving us completely and without end. I am blessed to have a very precious and good earthly Father. I'm privileged to have my dad still with us, and I don't know how long we'll have him with us, but I've been thinking this week, as I knew I was going to talk about the everlasting Father, how many things about my dad I admire, and there are a lot of them. He's a great God. He's a great guy, I mean. I was thinking of some of the qualities of my father. I think my dad has always been patient. He's just a patient guy. Some people are more patient than others, but I can think of all the things, dumb things I've done. Still do, probably. My dad just seems to be patient with me. I think how my dad seems to be pretty wise. I mean, he seems to have things figured out pretty good, but I know my dad isn't perfect. I know that my dad's lived to 84 years old, and Lord willing, he's going to live longer, much longer, if the Lord allows that. But I know that someday he'll step into eternity. But I know I have a Heavenly Father who's perfect. I have a Heavenly Father who magnifies the feelings I have about my dad by 10 or 20 or 50. I don't know how much, but I have a Heavenly Father who's absolutely perfect. And Isaiah describes the Messiah as the everlasting Father, the one that never quits, the one that never gives up, the one that never messes up, the one who's always interceding for us, the one that never forgets us, the one whose love is unstoppable, unquenchable. That song that we were singing before, the love of God, how amazing it is. It's unstoppable. It's unquenchable. There's something about the love of God because God is love. Jesus, His character is described as being the nature of love, and somehow there's no way that we can be separated from that love in Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 39 says, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the hand of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can cause God to stop loving you. He loves you with an infinite, everlasting love. He's the everlasting Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is a mighty God. He is an everlasting Father. That's who Jesus is to me. I hope today that as you think about who Jesus is, that you'll be reminded of the beautiful pictures that God gives us of Him. Isn't He an amazing God? Isn't He a wonderful God? Maybe if you can just remember one or two of those and write them down or hold on to them and celebrate and worship Him today. Give time to worship an amazing God. He is a mighty God. He is an everlasting Father. He's worthy of our worship and our praise. I want to close our service this morning with a few minutes of quiet worship. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to sing that chorus that we sang several weeks ago. I think we sang it to open the service. We're just going to sing it a cappella. O come, let us adore Him. I know that Christmas time and Christmas Sundays are an opportunity to come and be reminded again of who Jesus is and the wonder of the love of God. This morning I want to invite you, as we worship quietly in closing today, just to focus on the wonder of who He is. You've heard a lot of descriptions about Jesus, some from through the prophecies of the Old Testament, and especially here in Isaiah chapter 9, and we've read from John chapter 1 that He's with us, and there's many others, and this morning I just want to invite you to worship Him and focus on Him. Sing this chorus with me through a couple of times. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Sing with me again. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, today we worship You, we celebrate You. We're thankful somehow today for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how You have been together since the very beginning of time. And somehow we understand the attributes of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're thankful today that Jesus is described as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I pray that each one of those, God, would mean something to us. And as we take time to study, we take time to listen, we take time to bow in humility before You, that we would see the fullness of the wonder of God. Thank You for Christmas time. Thank You for the privilege of remembering. And God, may our worship and our hearts and our attitude and our spirit be pleasing to You, I pray. Thank You today for the privilege to be together and all those that were able to be here. I pray that You would watch over them and give them a safe trip home, and others, God, to be traveling during these days and when the winter weather comes. We thank You for Your protection and Your help. Thank You again today for the wonder of who Jesus is, that He came to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.